Our gospel reading this morning is the first half of what is traditionally called the high priestly prayer. Jesus' mission is drawing to an end, and before he goes to the cross, he has some requests for God. In his prayer, Jesus prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for the church. He first asks the Father to glorify him. He doesn't ask for his own self-promotion, but in order that he might glorify the Father, beginning with the sacrifice of himself upon the cross. Archbishop William Temple once wrote, "The cross is the glory of God because self-sacrifice is the expression of love." Jesus' life of perfect obedience, even to the cross, is the ultimate illustration of what it looks like to glorify God. And now the hour has finally arrived when Jesus will take up his cross and glorify God by fulfilling God's plan from all eternity. At this point, he turns his prayer to the disciples. He says to the Father, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world." After Jesus' death and resurrection, he will ascend back to the Father, but his disciples will be left and remain in a fallen world. So Jesus prays that what has taken root in their hearts, their embrace of the gospel, would not be taken from them. He asks the Father to keep them, to preserve them in unity, that they may be one just as he and the Father are one. In essence, Jesus asks his Father to hold his disciples together when life begins to fall apart. Jesus knows what's up ahead for the disciples. When he is arrested, the disciples will scatter in fear. Peter will deny even knowing Jesus, not just once, but three times. It looks like everything is unraveling for them. And that's why Jesus prays, "Keep them in your name." The answer to his prayer does not come immediately, but it does come. And what is God's answer to Jesus' high priestly prayer? He pours out the Holy Spirit on the disciples. After the disciples flee in all directions, the Holy Spirit gathers them again, pulling them back together like little chicks, and the disciples are transformed. The Holy Spirit becomes the bond that holds them together. What happens for us when life falls apart? What keeps us individually and as the church? Does the same Holy Spirit who gathered the disciples gather us as well? This is why Pentecost is so important to the life of the church. The Holy Spirit is the Father's answer to his son's prayer in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. When Jesus completes his mission on the cross and is lifted up to the Father, the promised helper and advocate comes to dwell in the disciples. That same helper dwells in the body of Christ today and keeps us together as one, because the gospel has taken root in our hearts. There are times when I wonder, do I really possess the Holy Spirit? Is the Spirit keeping me in Christ? Is he interceding for me with groanings that are too deep for words? The truth is, I cannot keep myself by my own strength. Only by the power of God himself am I kept. It reminds me of an illustration from the late theologian R.C. Sproul. Imagine a father walking beside a railroad track with his three-year-old son. The father holds the child's hand because danger is near. If the boy's safety depends on the strength of his own grip, he would be in grave danger. He could lose his grip and wander into the path of the train. What keeps the child from destruction is not the boy's grip on his father's hand, but it's his father's grip on the boy's hand. Isn't that what Jesus asks the Father to do, to keep his grip on his disciples and on his church? The Holy Spirit is that grip of grace, that will not let go of our souls. When life falls apart, God holds us together through His Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can clearly sense God's hand gripping ours and keeping us. At other times, it's hard to feel His providential hand. Oftentimes, it's only in looking back, reflecting on our past, when we recognize God's grip on us. A few years ago, I was driving home on I-90 late at night, and it was early winter, and it was cold and dark. And as I was driving along, I was thinking about how good it was going to feel to get home and crawl into bed. But just then, one of my rear tires blew out. And for about 5 seconds, life suddenly got really exciting. So I quickly pulled over, jacked up the truck, and tried to remove the lug nuts. But the tire iron wouldn't work for some reason. But just then, a young man pulled up behind me, and he asked if I needed help. He immediately noticed that the wheels had special locking lug nuts. I had forgotten about that special key. Thankfully, we found it, removed the wheel, and he drove off. And I thought, great. All I have to do is put on the spare tire and head home. But the hole in the center of the spare wheel was too small to fit on the hub. It made no sense. It was the original spare. At that moment, another man pulled up and asked if I needed help. Incredibly, his truck was full of all the tools he owned, including the exact tool that I needed to grind out the center of that wheel. So he takes out his grinder and does the work himself. And I was finally able to get back on the road and head home. Only then did I realize I had never turned on my hazard lights. I have no idea how either of these men saw me on that dark night. I used to chalk experiences like that up to coincidence. But over and over again, these coincidences kept happening. Moments where God holds my life together in ways I could never orchestrate. God has a grip on us, even in the ordinary moments of life, like changing a tire on a dark highway. As we prepare to celebrate Pentecost next Sunday, I encourage you to read, mark, and inwardly digest Jesus' high priestly prayer. Reflect on how the Holy Spirit has been at work in your life, keeping you and preserving you. Perhaps even make a list of God's work in your life. Let that list be a tangible reminder of God's answer to Jesus' prayer to keep you. May the Lord forever bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.